Don't you love the Lord today? Don't you love him? I love my church. It's hard to get it out of my spirit. I've been reading it all week, and it just stays with me. And I know it's, hopefully not antiquated, I keep reading it and singing it. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, he's worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior. He's worthy to be praised. From the rising, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. He's worthy. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Praise him. Praise him. You know this? Praise him. Okay. Praise him. Jesus. Lift your hands and praise him. Lift your hands and bless him. Because he's your life. He's your breath. He's your all in all. He's your help. He's your savior. He's your king. He's your deliverer.
Hey, King of kings. Hey, Lord of lords.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the rock.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Honor.
Thank you, Lord.
Thanksgiving.
That's why his name is so great.
Hallelujah.
Because of who he is and what he does.
Worthy.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Some of you need to know that. When he says God is my rock, it means when everything else is shaking, it means you're solid, you're still. He's got you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Don't stop. Just continue to bless him. Just continue to praise him. Hope of salvation. He's my strong deliverer. In him I'll always trust. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise. And in this hour, Lord, we do praise you and we thank you even for the things you have planned for us to walk into. We thank you and we praise you that in this season, make your name mighty, make your name great through us. We ask you, Heavenly Father, tear down every stronghold of the enemy. As we fast, as we pray, as we give, make our path straight. The plans you have for us, the increase that's waiting for us. Thank you, Lord. The victory that's already been won for us. We do declare in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for answering our prayer. Help us to see and understand. Indeed, Father, make your name great through us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, clap your hands to the throne of God. That throne that is stable never moves. That throne that is above every throne. To the myriads and the myriads and the myriads of angels that constantly praise him day and night. All principalities and powers bow down before him. All obstacles are moved out of his way. When he comes, nothing can resist him. And when he speaks, whatever he says, it will come to pass. That's the God we serve. That's the King we worship. My God, my rock, my King, my joy, my salvation. Everything to me, Lord. Your name, your name, your name is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glorify your name. Glorify your name through your people. Let it be so. May they behold your matchless power. May they see your incredible glory. In the name of Jesus. Manifest yourself through them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's all right to praise him for a little bit. It's all right to clap your hands to him a little bit. It's all right to make a little noise for him, because surely he's worthy of it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have your way in this place today. Jesus. Glorify your name. Wow. Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, I know this is an old song, but it's just hitting me right now. It says, glorify the Lord. Praise his holy name. Let the trumpet sound, let the bells ring. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Come on and praise his holy name. Glory and everybody. God is holy.
God is holy.
And he's worthy.
And he's worthy.
And we worship.
Praise his holy name.
Let the trumpet sound, let the bell ring. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Come on and praise his holy name. Everybody sing,
everybody sing.
God is holy,
God is holy,
and he's worthy,
and he's worthy.
And we worship. One more time, glory.
Glorify the Lord.
Praise his holy name.
Praise his holy name.
Let the trumpet sound.
Let
the bell ring.
We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Come on and praise his holy name.
Everybody sing.
Everybody sing.
Worthy.
He is Lord,
Lord of lords. He Everybody sing.
Everybody sing.
God is holy.
God is holy.
And he's worthy.
And he's worthy.
And we worship.
And we worship.
One more time.
Him.
He is Lord.
Lord of lords.
He will never, never let you fall. Lift your hands to the Lord one more time. See, if you don't know him, you don't know how to worship him. But if you know him in your experience, if he's ever delivered you, if he's ever shown you what to do, if he's ever healed you, if he's ever spoken to you when you needed a word, then you know him. It's not a problem worshiping him. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord wants to help us. He wants to prepare us because he wants to take his name up a notch through you. God wants to use us. Are you there, saints? The world doesn't know what we do in here. They don't really care. Oh, but when you take the goodness of the Lord out to the place where you live and where you work, when you take the goodness of God into the very marketplace, when you allow God to do through you what he has always wanted to do, they will know how great he is. Hallelujah. Touch somebody who you're standing with. Father, I thank you for the courage to open our mouths for what is right and what is true, and to give you the glory. Forgive us for being ashamed in the face of evildoers and unbelievers. I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, let your power, your mercy flow through us. Indeed, that your name may be mighty and great, for it is, and they do not know it. And they boast in riches, and they boast in possessions, but we will boast in the Lord our God, for you are greater than riches and greater than all possessions. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Would you just invade the life of every person, every family, every single, every married couple. Invade their life. Do through us, through the church, what you have always declared and wanted to do. And we praise you and thank you for it. All thanks, all praise be unto God Almighty. Clap your hands now and just give him praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to praise God for our praise team. For everyone, one of the things the Lord began to speak to me about was, if we wanted him to manifest, we should be singing what heaven is singing.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And in order to do that means we have to open our hearts even more. We have done that, and now it's time for it to be even more. And I believe actually, some of you make your way here after praise and worship is finished, but I think you need to change that. And as we enter in, God's going to do everything he wants to do in our midst. Amen. Don't be afraid. Bring the ones that are sick. Look at your neighbors and bring the ones that are sick. Bring the ones who are hurting. Bring them. Said what?
You be the leader's daughter. See what heaven is saying.
Okay. Bring the ones that need the Lord. Don't be afraid to do that. In fact, something happened today in the when we were opening in prayer. One of the brothers came to me. He said, "Oh, Bishop, I can't believe this." I said, "What? What?" He said, "I was just praying for that girl, and she walked in the door today." I said, "Wow, you better deliver to her what the Lord said to you." How many of you believe that God can do that? That God does that? Yeah. Leave that hand up and speak in the language that God's giving you, because this is the time that God wants to increase. He wants to increase our number. And he wants to increase the intensity of his presence in our midst. I bless you and praise you, Heavenly Father. I thank you for all your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you for looking out for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We come expecting your presence, expecting you to work your works in our midst. We come expecting you to do all that you want to do. We bless you and praise you. Thank you for preparing us for what we must do. All God's people said amen. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, team. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You sure
stay
are.
Ready. Some of you have no idea. You have no idea the history of this. One day we'll tell you. Please take your seat. And I want you to prepare yourself to worship the Lord. I want you to prepare yourself to worship the Lord in this first fruit season. I really mean it exactly that way. To honor him. To thank and praise him. To give consideration to what would be a blessing to the Lord. You know, there's a phrase in the scripture that is, Joshua was the first one that I heard use it in the scripture. He was talking about the city of Jericho, which was the first fruit city, the first city of the whole land that was under conquest. And they hadn't conquered any other cities, but this was the cream de la cream. It was the largest, the richest, had all the commerce, business, walls so wide that chariots could be driven both ways on it. It was amazing. But when, in preparation to take that city, Joshua used a phrase that I don't use it much. You may not have heard it much. But he said, this city belongs to the Lord, so everything in it belongs to God. And he says, this city is under the ban. Under the ban. B-A-N. Under the ban. It's a very special, it's a very interesting word. Carib means that it must not be consumed by you. It must not be coveted by you. In fact, Joshua said, be careful lest you covet these things. Joshua understood what they were going to see when those walls crumbled and they rushed into the mightiest city in the land, the richest city in the land. And everything in there was the people were destroyed. All their riches, everything was left. And you know the story of of what's his name? Who took, you actually remember it. Good. His name was Achan. Yeah. But Joshua said, you shall not, don't covet it. Don't covet it means, to covet something means I want that. Ooh, Lord. Ooh, ooh. To covet something means to look at it on, in a way that you deeply desire it to be yours, to the point that you're willing to act so that it can be yours. He said, you're not to covet it, but you're to, we're going to offer this to the Lord. And it is used a few other times in the Old Testament under the ban. It means it is a blessing to the Lord, but it is poison or it is detrimental to you. We don't use those terms anymore. It's referred to not only is it referred to in terms of the first fruit, it's also referred to in terms of the tithe, because the Lord said the tithe is mine, the 10%. So we don't want to covet that. You don't want to say, well, shoot, I could have bought me 6 more pairs of shoes with that tithe. In fact, some of y'all need to take them shoes off you have right now and go ahead and sell them and give the Lord back his money. Amen. It's easy to covet, which is one of the sins, one of the major sins is to covet. You don't have it, but you wished you had it. You can even become envious that you don't have it. Joshua said, don't covet it, don't take it, because it's under the ban. It's very special. It becomes a blessing to God first. But if you consume it instead of giving it, it becomes, I'm slow to use this word because there are so many who are mistreating this word, but it becomes a curse when you use something that's under the ban for yourself. Now the curse is explained in Malachi, speaking about the tithe. He said, when you tithe, I'm going to rebuke the devourer, and I'm going to cause what you've planted to come forth in the right season. If it's under the curse, it doesn't come forth. And it's horrible that what God really wants to do gets prohibited in the way we've treated what he says is his. Now the first fruit is different because it's not a 10%, as we've been saying. It is a free-willed, heartfelt offering. In the beginning of the year or the beginning of the season, depending on what business you're talking about. It's a heartfelt gift out of my heart because I want to bless the Lord. And the Lord is blessed by it because he understands what's left after you give it. He knows that there's nothing that saves you more from covetousness than giving. Giving actually delivers us from acting like there is no God who can't take care of our needs and even give us our desires. It's a powerful thing. So when we worship the Lord in our giving, it says, I will not covet this. Lord, I release this to you. Did I ever tell y'all about that green sweater? Did I ever tell you? I told somebody about it. About that green sweater I had when I just came in the army. And I had commissary privileges. And commissary privileges, I mean, you can go in there and shop for cheap. Nobody else could go in there, but only service people. There was this green sweater. It was so incredible. I never seen anything like it. I don't even like green today. But at that time, you know, I didn't have no sense of style. Anyway, I liked green. Green don't even look good with my skin color. You understand what I'm saying? Well, maybe royal green, but you know, army green. I want that sweater. I bought that sweater. I want to tell you, you could not tell me I was not looking good in that sweater. I put that sweater on, man. Anybody have a garment that way? You know, when you put that garment on, oh, it's over now. The Lord sent us a couple who had recently been saved. They had just come to Jesus. They were tender. They didn't have nothing. We had them stay. They stayed in our home for several weeks. And it was cold. And how many of you know in Germany it gets cold in the winter? It's cold. And the Lord said, give Peter your sweater. I said, I rebuke you, Satan. Then you know how the Lord can just be silent. How many of you know the voice of God when you hear it, but you act like you didn't. But when He says something you don't want to hear, you act like you didn't hear it. I was there, and a day goes by. I haven't given him the sweater yet. Another day goes by. I have not given him the sweater. And it's all how many living under conviction. How many of y'all been there? You know, you just be on your heart every time you see him. You know, Lord, it will be freezing outside, you know, and you got the sweater, and you know. Whew. So finally, I just got tired of being under conviction. And I said, okay. And I gave him the sweater. He was like, oh man, really? Really, man? Oh man. That's when he was so happy. I was not happy. Finally, it was time for them to move on, and the weather got better, and they moved on. I went back to the commissary to see if I could find me another one. This is a true story. And I went in there and found another one, and it just didn't. Then it started unraveling. Because in my heart, still coveted it. Man, I had to let that thing go. Has anyone had anything? They just had to let that thing go. It's hard when you don't. When it comes to giving, nothing saves us and nothing promotes us like giving. And that's why they wrote that song. One of the reasons, coming from the background I came from, you know this song. You can't beat God giving, no matter how you try. The more you give, the more He gives to you. Just keep on giving. Just keep on giving, because it's really true. Because it's really true that you can't beat God giving, no matter how you try. Kind of like that. I said it to say, when you worship God, one of the greatest ways to worship Him is what you give, because God said it this way. He proves it in His own nature. He says, for God so loved the world that, come on, and the result of that giving, He gave His only begotten Son that, I'm sorry, who? Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you believe it? Everlasting life comes out of the seed that God gives. It's amazing. So many people got upset with the Word of Faith movement because there was so much taught about giving and receiving. And I believe it, that we need desperately right now to hear this word. This is first fruit season when you have to make up your mind what you're going to give. And it should be the first and it should be the best. Look at your neighbor and say, give the best. See, if you will give him the best and don't covet the best, God will turn around and give you the best. And by the way, God's best is a whole lot bigger and greater than your best. I'll try that again. If you will give God your best, God, since you can't outgive him, will turn around and give you his best, which far outweighs your best. Let's try it again. If you will give God your best, tap your neighbor and say, your best, your best, your best. So something in your heart's got to change. You can't covet that. Say, Lord, I'm giving you. Why am I giving? Because I'm the reason why I'm giving it, because I know you, God. I know your ways. I know your way. So in Malachi chapter 1 verse 11, it says, from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, the name, your name, or my name, this is God speaking to Israel, my name will be great among the nations. I want you to remember that, because that's exactly the tension that's going on in the nations right now. God is pressing to make his name great while others are pressing to suppress his name. That's why the tension against believers is so high right now. And that's why all manner of profanity and labels are being put upon those who believe, those who hold the values of the kingdom of God. Make no mistake, this nation we live in is rocking and reeling with this tension of who is God. And what did he say? Is it a lie or is it the truth? And every one of us are having to be weighed in the balance as to whether or not we are the proof of what God says. Are we going to magnify his name, or does your life or lifestyle diminish his name? I'm sorry, but silence is consent. When you say nothing, then evil prevails. Because evil will speak and shout every time. A liar holler every time. And when you say nothing, when I say nothing, and when I do nothing, evil prevails. That tension we are living in, church, right now. Some of you are facing it on your job. You mention the name of God. Isn't it amazing? The media don't want anybody to say Jesus when on the interview. Isn't that amazing? They want to censure. They want to, what's it called in this church? They who what? Is that right? Censor. They want to censor you if you mention his name and his truth. They'll shut you down, take you off social media. You may not have asked for this, but I'm sorry, you were born into it. The dispute over the name of God is hot and heavy right now. The tension right now exists, right now, and like never before in this nation. Our worshiping God in this offering is a whole lot bigger deal than you know. God's name being made great in your life impacts every area of your life. I'm sorry, your children. You want to see this in a microcosm. What do your children say about you when they're away from you? When your children are in the midst of their friends and all their friends do not know the Lord, what do they say? How do your children speak about their parents? Kind of another way to say it. How great is your name among your children in your absence? Oh, you can always tell a godly home. Because those children, when they are in another environment, do not deny their parents. Those children will act differently when that opposite comes up, that thing you've been saying and teaching and showing them in your home. When they face it out there, they resist. Oh, you know a house where his name, you know a home where his name is great, because when those children are in an environment that rail and curse against his name and use his name profanely, they don't join in, they react. Because they learned in their family, it is better for me to be rejected by my so-called friends than accepted by those who are rejected by God. That's a different ball game. It's so important until in this verse of scripture that I'm reading right now, where he says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, in every place that my name, he said, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place where worship is going on, in every place where incense is going to be offered in my name, and the grain, he's speaking of the manner of worship, in every place that worship is going on, offering that is pure, whenever there's a pure offering of my, a pure offering, it's an interesting thing, a pure offering represents my name. My name will be great among the nations. I'm trying to figure out the connection. Lord, how do we get your name great among the nations? Because in every place where incense is going on, or incense is offering, or a grain offering is offered, or an offering is pure, my name will be great. Well, it's real simple. When you offer to the Lord out of your heart, when you give to him out of obedience and out of reverence, the blessing that comes back, you can't hide who you are or who God is when you receive his blessing. It's by the blessing that his name is made great. He can't release that blessing unless it is given first from us as the first and the best. That's why in Proverbs 3:9 he says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Can I put it this way? Of the first of all you produce. So that your, I'm going to change the words from barns and vats to bank accounts. Does anyone here have a bank account? Now we haven't moved to cashless. They're trying to move us from cash to, cash to Bitcoin or cash to digital, right? How many of y'all still have cash? Anybody still have cash? So do people still carry cash on them today? Yeah. So I think I'll just say this. Those of you who are wise, keep a little cash stash. Turn to your neighbor and say, always have a cash stash. In Proverbs 3:9 says, glorify the Lord from your wealth. Honor him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. I like this. This is the TPT translation. It says, glorify God. Thank you. Glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your very best. I love this. Glorify the Lord with all your wealth. Honor him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. I love that, because that really makes it clear. When God brings an increase to you, honor him. We have to learn again what honor means, because we are living in an honorless society. Nobody wants to say Mr. anymore. Oh my God, if we ever addressed an adult by their first name as I was growing up, you felt all five knuckles in your lips. We would not dare say, hey Pete, what did you say? You did, and how many of you were not allowed to call your mama by her first name? Raise your hand and look around, please. Raise your hand and look around. God help me if I said, Myrtle, come over here. Oh my God. My children, unless they're playing, now recently they might be playing, but then they recant quick. But they don't have the luxury of calling my wife by her first name. That is restricted for me in the family. Y'all breathing? You have to call her by her title, because she gets honor. I'm sorry, y'all there? Oh, they know how to spell her name, but they don't get to talk. What happened to that in our culture? Whatever happened to that? I think it happened that when husbands were unfaithful to wives, husbands dishonor to wives, and wives dishonor to their husbands, transferred down to their children. And now that we have another generation that doesn't even, I mean, they don't honor parents at all. Okay. So Proverbs 3:9 says, glorify God with all your wealth, honor him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you, with every increase that comes to you, from every dimension of your life, then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessing. I love this, the way the TPT version unpacks this verse. With every increase that comes to you, then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessing. Every dimension of your life will overflow with blessing from an uncontainable source of inner joy. I love it when God answers. Well, somebody's supposed to someone's giving the first fruit testimony in a minute, right? Okay, well, give me 5 minutes. Watch this. Somebody's laughing over there like unbelief. Okay, I got you. So check this out. When we talk about the first fruit principle, it's not a legalistic demand. It's a pattern that is found in the Word of God. It's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. You can choose not to practice this if you desire and remain stuck where you are. Or you could you could put God to the test. The only way, it's the only place he allows us to do that is in our giving. Test me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. Pour you out a blessing. A tremendous blessing pours out of heaven when you see this and you do it. Please, it is worship to God. It is honoring him for who he is. You know, when we have birthdays, Ronnie, we call you forth to give you a word, because on your birthday, we have a tradition just in our culture that you honor people on their birthday. So you give recognition and you give a present. Some of you don't mind giving recognition. You learn to give a present. Let the people say amen. I say amen again. What I love today, when my wife gave honor to Bobby's, the word that Bobby received today, when she gave recognition to that, she honored it, and she allowed you to honor it as well. And when you did, I'm looking at Bobby, and he's kind of coming to pieces. Last thing in the world he expected today. I'm sitting back in that seat, and the Lord said, ask Bobby when his birthday is. I said, psst. He got them earphones on so he couldn't hear me. He said, psst. So he looked over there at me. I said, when's your birthday? He said, February. I said, oh. Because he's supposed to be down there. Now he's, what do I mean? He hit the drums. I said, get up. I can do that. I can do that for you. He said, so since he didn't move at the bishop's command, I just told my wife, just call him out, baby. I don't know what he's going to do with that. I hope he honors the Lord with some of it. Because there's more coming. There's more where that came from. Let the people say amen to that. I want you to see that God's name is at stake. Look at your neighbor. God's name is at stake in your life. Now, if you are not called by his name, I'm not talking to you. If you have not been born again into his household and received his spirit, now you are his. And because of that, you now, whether you want to or not, you represent him. That is why when you come here, it's a wonderful thing. But it's even more important what happens when you walk out of that door. Who you represent. What you present to people. Your lifestyle. I'm sorry, but you know, if your car has got, if you're riding on Maypops, and you got Maypops may pop at any time. Amen. That's your tires. If you're riding on Maypops, if you have, you know, if your car, I'm sorry, this is kind of a little personal, but if your car is filthy and open the door, oh Jesus, you know, if your car is bent and busted and rusted and got cracks and, you know, I'm sorry. You do have transportation, but you're not representing very well. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't representing very well. And if you and God, I'm not trying to say to you, you have to have a certain brand. No, I'm not saying that. But whatever you do have, if it is not pristine, if whatever you do have, if it's not, Lord have mercy, Lord help me right now. Clean, Lord have mercy. If whatever you do have, wherever you do live, if it's not presentable, then you're not representing very well. So at this time we've been fasting and praying. I want you to understand this, that God is going to put you on blast. He will put you on display. I want to know, when he does, what do the people see? What do they hear? What do they experience? Because that's exactly what Malachi, the book of Malachi, is about. And he talks about the problem with their offering. And because of my 5 minutes is up, I'll tell you what that was next week. You can clap now. All right. Maybe you didn't clap that well, so maybe I'll go on a little further. Okay, I will stop. So I want to give you one phrase, one sentence. I don't know if you can put this up, Kenny, but this is kind of our statement for this first fruit season. See, the basic principle of first fruits is this. When you honor the Lord with the first and the best, all of the rest is blessed. When you honor the Lord with the first and the best, all of the rest is blessed. And that should be your anticipation. So I want my team to come forth right now. I know you didn't believe I was going to stop. I want my team to come forth right now.